नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 The Creative Impetus, Chapter 11, Jad Bharat instructs King Rahugana, verse number 4. Yavan Mano Rajasa Purushasya Satvena Vatamasa Vanurudam चेतो भीर आकुति भीर आत्नोति निरंकुशम कुशलम चेतरम वा यावन मनोरजसा पुरुषस्य सत्वेन वा तमसा वानुरुदम चेतो भी राकुति भी रातनोति निरंकुशम कुशलम चेतरम वा यावन मनोरजसा पुरुषस्य सत्वेन वा तमसा वानुरुदम चेतो भी राकुति भी रातनोति निरंकुशम कुशलम चेतरम वा। प्लीज चैंट। यावन मनोरजसा पुरुषस्य सत्वेन वा तमसा वानुरुदम चेतो भीराकुति भीरातनोति निरंकुशम कुशलम चेतरम वा। यावन मनोरजसा पुरुषस्य सत्वेन वा तमसा वानुरुदम निरंकुशम कुशलम चेत्रम वा। माताजी यावत एज लॉन्ग एज मना द माइंड रजसा बाय द मोड ऑफ पैशन पुरुषस्य ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी सत्वेन बाय द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस वा और तमसा बाय द मोड ऑफ डार्कनेस वा और अनुरुदम कंट्रोल्ड चेतोभि बाय द नॉलेज एक्वायरिंग सेंसेस आकुति भी बाय द सेंसेस ऑफ एक्शन आत्नोति एक्सपैंड्स निरंकुशम इंडिपेंडेंट लाइक एन एलिफेंट नॉट कंट्रोल्ड बाय अ ट्रीडेंट कुशलम ऑस्पिशियसनेस च ऑल्सो इतरम अदर देन ऑस्पिशियसनेस सिंफुल एक्टिविटीज वा और ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन as long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. It simply expands his jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer pleasures and pains due to material activity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that material, pious and impious activities are both opposed to the principle of devotional service. Devotional service means mukti, freedom from material entanglement. But pious and impious activities result in entanglement within this material world. If the mind is captivated by the pious and impious activities mentioned in the Vedas, one remains eternally in darkness. One cannot attain the absolute platform. To change the consciousness from ignorance to passion, or from passion to goodness, does not really solve the problem. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Sa gunan samatiyetan brahma bhuaya kalpate. One must come to the transcendental platform. Otherwise, life's mission is never fulfilled. Om Ajnan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11, Verse Number 4, Translation. As long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. It simply expands his jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer pleasures and pains due to material activities. Hare Krishna. So in the previous shloka, Jad Bharat, he mentions to King Rahugana that when one is awakened from illusion of the material world, that is, one is trying to come out of material illusion, then even the knowledge of Vedas is insufficient or inadequate to make him transcendental. So in this verse he gives a reason for this, that why the Vedas or the knowledge of the Vedas is insufficient to give liberation, to take one on the platform of transcendence. So in order to explain that, he introduces karma. We have studied from Bhagavad Gita what is karma. There are five subject matters: jiva, ishvara, prakriti, kala and karma. And in Bhagavad Gita, karma is defined as that activity which is conducted under the three modes of material nature as well as the force of time. That is karma. And the law is such that every karma, every action will have a reaction, will have a fruit, fall. One cannot say, I don't want fruit, I just want to act. Not possible. Fruit will come. We accept or do not accept, the fruit will come. That is the law of karma. So the pure living entity, why does the pure living entity start doing this action and getting involved in the fruit? Is because of the mind. The mind, which is a material element, matter, has three jobs, three functions: thinking, feeling and willing. After that, the action happens through the senses and the body. So when the pure soul comes to this material realm, at that time the soul comes in contact with this material mind. And hoping that the mind will fulfill my desires of enjoyment, fulfill my desires of happiness, the soul makes friendship with the mind. See, just like a foreigner first time comes to Mumbai, so he doesn't knows anything about Mumbai. He doesn't has a particular area or locality in mind where he wants to visit. He has only one desire, to see Mumbai or to enjoy basically. So then he gets a tourist guide and he makes friendship with that tourist guide, hoping that this tourist guide will show me Mumbai, will fulfill my desire of taking this trip, and I will enjoy this city. Right? Similarly, the pure soul comes to the material world is a foreigner. We are not part of this material world. This is not our desh. This is not our home. Our home is spiritual world. We are from there. We are imported personalities. So when we come here with a desire to enjoy, but the soul is spiritual in nature, can't deal with matter. The soul cannot deal with matter. It's a foreign land. Even the body is foreign. Even the material objects are foreign. So the soul makes friendship with mind. Soul cannot deal with matter. Mind is also matter. But mind is subtle. And these objects are gross. And the biggest difference between mind and these gross objects is these objects cannot think and mind can think. Mind has thoughts. Mind has desires. Mind is matter and matter can think. In our science colleges we never study this, that matter can think. But Bhagavatam teaches matter can think. And soul is conscious. the function of mind, which is thinking, and consciousness are very closely related. That's why soul and mind can develop a relationship. So soul develops a friendship with the mind, hoping that this mind will act as my tourist guide in this material world, in every species, and help me to enjoy. And this mind, it is influenced by this material nature. Material nature consists of three energies: mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. Sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. So if I am coming to Mumbai first time, and I get a tourist guide who is greatly influenced by the park owners, then where will he take me? He'll take me to parks. This is nice park, you go here. Or this is better, you go here. If the tourist guide is greatly influenced by Hare Krishna Mandir, then he'll say, chalo, bahut achha mandir hai, Juhu mein, we will go there. If the tourist guide is greatly influenced by all the restaurant society, restaurant community, then say there are nice restaurants, why don't you eat here? So what the tourist guide himself likes, or what he is greatly influenced by, or where he gets the best commission, there is going to take the tourist. Right? If he is dharmic, he will take him to Siddhi Vinayak, Hare Krishna Mandir, Mahalakshmi, like that. If he is passionate, he will take to cinema theatres, restaurants, like that. If he is in ignorance, he will take him to racing and beer bar and brothels, like that. And the tourist thinks, this is Bombay. This is life and I have to go there. He is just, you know, depends on the mind, depends on the guide. So this mind is influenced by either goodness or passion or ignorance. Predominantly, there is a mixture, but predominantly goodness, passion, and ignorance. And based on this influence, the mind develops desires. The soul has only one desire, to enjoy. And mind has developed multiple desires based on one desire. And the mind, in the contact with the senses, develops these desires. If you go to restaurant, you will be happy. If you go to racing maidan, you will be happy. And the tourist says, yes, yes, chalo, chalo, jate hain. In the same way, the mind says, if you eat samosa, you will be happy. If you eat rasgulla, you will be happy. If you sleep, you will be happy. That is human kind of mode of goodness. In the pig consciousness, when mind is involved with mode of ignorance, if you stool eat, you will be happy. If you have sex, you will be happy. Same soul. When in the human body, the mind gives a different list of sense objects, and in the pig body, the mind gives a different list of sense objects. And happiness is both, same quality. So as per the influence of the three modes of material nature, the mind makes multiple desires with the help of five senses. So the desire to enjoy something nice to eat, sleep, wear is not soul's desire. Soul doesn't want to eat samosa. Soul doesn't know what is samosa. It is mind which says, this is your sense object. This is your sense object. This is not your sense object. This is mind which makes it. Soul has only one desire, to be happy. Just like we take shower, There is actually only one stream of water, not multiple streams. But because of that instrument, we think so many streams are coming. So that is mind. Actually, there is only one desire. But when it touches the mind, it becomes many. It doesn't become many, it becomes too many. Infinite. Multiple showers. Every stream will have more showers. It becomes too many. So this is because of the influence of the three modes on mind. And because soul has made friendship with the mind, so soul thinks these are my desires. If I don't get this, I will be unhappy. If I don't get Videocon washing machine, my life is gone. Spoiled. That is why on the billboard they write. Right? On the Videocon washing machine advertisement they write, technology for health and happiness. So somebody reads it, oh, if I get washing machine, I'll be healthy and I'll be happy. So that desire gets developed. And then she goes and tells the husband, look, we want this next pagar, we want this. That's what mind generates, so many desires within the purview of the three modes of material nature. And not only mind generates desires with the help of the senses, five working senses and five knowledge acquiring senses, an action is performed. And as I said, that action is called karma. And this expands. Not that I perform actions, I fulfill desires and full stop. No, daily and daily this expands. Auspicious and inauspicious, pious and impious, pap and punya, these actions go on expanding. Day in, day out we develop new desires, new actions to perform. And the soul is helplessly continuing on this journey, seeing Mumbai, helplessly continuing. But what happens in all this? In the background, in the BPO office, which is not visible, what happens is every action which is performed develops a karma phala, reaction. One fruit is developed. And where does the fruit go? It is deposited in the bank account of the soul. So if I perform hundreds of actions, hundreds of fruits are there. What are these fruits? These fruits are of happiness and distress. If I perform papa, sinful activity, impious activity, then accordingly a fruit of dukkha, distress, misery is deposited in my account. If I perform pious activity, punya, dharmic activity, accordingly a fruit of happiness, enjoyment is deposited in my account. I don't know, I'm just performing actions. This is background process. So many fruits, thousands and thousands of fruits are created. Then when time is ripe, fruit is ready, circumstances are ready, the fruit is given to me. And I get an experience of either happiness or distress. Sukha and dukkha. You are with me? So every action will generate a fruit and I'll be helpless to take that fruit. If it is enjoyment, I'll have to take enjoyment. If it is distress, I'll have to take distress. This is a general procedure. Now if I die, I did so many actions, I died. So many fruits are pending. What will happen? My sons will take the fruits. Government will take the fruits. No. Because the fruits are pending, I'll have to take one more birth. And in that birth, I'll have to experience these fruits. But what will I do? In the next birth, I will not just experience fruits, I will make more fruits, more activities, more karma. So I'll have more fruits. So again I will die. fruits will be pending. So again I will have to take birth. And this cycle of birth will go on, go on, and go on. Why? Because fruits are there. And why fruits are there? Because karma is done. Why karma is done? Because mind is influenced by the three modes of material nature. And this doesn't stop. This is the relationship between karma and liberation. Or three modes of material nature and liberation. Till we go on performing activities, we go on getting entangled. We go on getting bonded. We go on moving in the cycle of birth and death. But the goal of human form of life is to come out of the cycle of birth and death. That means not to have fruits, and the only way is not to do karma. That means to transcend the three modes of material nature. And that process is called akarma or devotional service. So why Vedas are not helpful? In Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, he describes a number of hellish planets. That is a horror story of Bhagavatam. Number of hellish planets. Two, if somebody reads or figuratively discusses, it's a big horror. So Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing that, he asked a question. He said, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, how can one be saved from this hellish planet after performing sinful activities? Sin is done. Hell is reserved. Is there any way the living entities can save themselves from going to hell?" So then Sukadeva Goswami said, "Yes." And what is the way? Atonement. Prayaschit. If somebody performs a sinful activity and he does prayaschit, he does atonement of that sinful activity, then he doesn't get hellish planet. Parikshit Maharaj says, "I don't agree." See, his spiritual master is giving him an answer to his question and he says, "I don't agree." He says, "What is the use? He does sin, then he atones, then he again does sin, then again he atones, and the cycle of sinning and atoning goes on, goes on, goes on. So there is no meaning to this." He gives the example of elephant taking bath. Elephant goes in the river, takes bath, becomes nice, fresh, clean, cool, comes out, again puts mud into the body. What is the use of that bath? So what is the use of atonement when again you do sinful activity? By the process of atonement, the reaction may be nullified, but the desire or the seed to commit sinful activity is not nullified. So Sukadeva Goswami said, "You are right, I was testing you." And he says, Sukadeva Goswami says that if somebody atones, even if the reaction is gone, but the mentality is still fruitive. Atoning is a fruitive activity. I do this and I get this. Fruitive activity or karmic activity means activity done for fruits. So when I atone, I still do fruitive activity. Thinking if I give charity, my papa will wash away. If I open hospitals, my papa will wash away. So the mentality is still fruitive. And one who has fruitive mentality will continue to commit sinful activity. So in the same way, any karma done to negate another karma will not be working. Why? Because the karma which you negated, that fruit is gone, but the karma which you did to negate that fruit is there. Any fruitive activity, any prayaschit done to resolve previous papa is still giving you a fruit. So you are still in the material world. So then Sukadeva Goswami said, the better process To save one from sinful reactions and going to hellish planet is taking exclusive surrender at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna by the process of pure devotional service, and that can be done simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the classic example at that time he gives is the story of Ajamila. That is how the story of Ajamila starts. So the activity done within the three modes of material nature will not help us to come out. And most of the Vedic injunctions deal with the three modes of material nature. So just by following Vedic injunctions, one cannot liberate himself. One cannot come out. From ignorance we go to passion, from passion we go to goodness, that's all. That is Vedic injunctions. But pure devotional service is beyond the three modes of material nature, is transcendental. So one has to gradually come to the platform of mode of goodness and then leave the platform of mode of goodness to come to transcendental platform. We don't come automatically because we wear kanti, tilak, dhoti, shave head and take a bead bag. It has to be developed. In 14th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Krishna writes, Hari Prabhupada writes, that the knowledge of mode of goodness, mode of material nature is so important that it helps us to understand how we are bound and also helps us to understand how we can get liberated. See, if somebody is lost in the forest, then the map of the forest will help him not only to understand how did he get involved, which path he came and lost it, but also help to understand how he can come out of the forest. So the knowledge of three modes of material nature is very important. Even though it is material, not transcendental, but it's very important because it helps us to know how we got bound so that we cannot continue to be bound more stronger, and how we liberate ourselves. Sometimes people think that only we should chant Hare Krishna, hear Krishna's pastime from 10th canto. Why this goodness, passion, ignorance you are discussing? But if we don't understand the map of the forest, we can't come out. So it is important to understand this. So those activities which are beyond the modes of material nature can only liberate us, and that is devotional service. So devotional service should be performed without any motivation, with a pure desire to please Krishna. In 3rd canto, Kapila Muni describes three types of performers performing devotional service. That's called mixed devotional service. Devotional service in mode of ignorance, in mode of passion, and in mode of goodness. So these three is based on the qualities of the practitioner. So one who practices devotional service, chanting, hearing, serving, every arditi worship, everything, but he is also violent, he is also angry, he is also envious, he is also proud, and he has a separatist mentality. By separatist mentality we meaning that his desire and Krishna's desire is different. So a person, an executioner or a practitioner who is violent, angry, proud, envious, is performing devotional service in mode of ignorance. He is the same person who is chanting 16 rounds, following four regular principles, doing deity worship, performing service, paying obeisances, doing everything. But he has these five qualities. Which qualities? Envy, anger, violent, proud, and separatist. So that practitioner is called performing devotional service in mode of ignorance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that such Vaishnavas, we should do dur se pranam. We should respect because they have accepted Krishna as their ultimate goal, but we should not keep company. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur compares them to animals with horned species. If there is an animal with horns, you will be little away. Animal without horns, you can be closer. Similarly, if somebody is accepting Krishna as the ultimate goal of life, practicing Vaishnava, but he has these horns, he is envious, he is angry, he is proud, he is violent, then such person may damage our enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. So that is devotional service in mode of ignorance. Then Kapila Muni describes a person who is practicing devotional service, but he wants opulence, he wants fame, he wants some material benefit, and he is a separatist. That person is considered to be practicing devotional service in mode of passion. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he practiced devotional service, but he wanted a kingdom. That is a material desire, that is opulence. That is mode of passion, devotional service in mode of passion. He was himself not in mode of passion in the sense we understand. He was not eating very opulently, wearing nice clothes. He was austere, eating, gradually stopped even drinking water, eating leaves and breathing. So austere, no sleeping, no eating, it looked like mode of goodness. So we are not talking about the material modes influencing the mind. We are talking about the qualities in devotional service. So he is in mode, his devotional service is in mode of passion, if he is doing it for the kingdom. Of course, later on he improved. He just attracted to Krishna, he became a pure devotee. So one who is doing devotional service for name, fame, opulence, material benefit, and is having a separatist mentality, that devotional service in mode of passion. So one who is performing devotional service for liberation, giving the fruits of his work to Krishna, so that he doesn't get entangled in cycle of birth and death, that devotional service is in mode of goodness. Like many Rishi Munis, they do dhyan, or Brahmanas, they do yajnas. They do it so that they get liberated. They have no interest in Krishna. They worship Krishna because Krishna can give liberation. So that devotional service is mode of goodness. And one who performs devotional service uninterrupted to please Krishna without any desire, as naturally as rivers flow towards the ocean, that devotional service is called pure devotional service or Uttama Bhakti. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu there is a very nice definition of Uttama Bhakti. Who will like to say? Very nice. Anya abhilashita shunyam. Shunyam means zero. Other. Anya means other. Abhilash means desire. Anya abhilashita shunyam. Other desires should be zero. We can't be desireless. Some desire has to be there. Or the minimum desire will be to become desireless. That is also a desire. We can't be desireless. So, no other desires, no material desires, no desire for jnana, no desire for karma, no desire for adi, other desires. Anukulyena, favorable execution of devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna. Only that desire we should have. And that is Uttama Bhakti, that is pure devotional service. Not mixed. Mixed devotional service means devotional service performed when the person is influenced in the three modes of material nature. We discuss ignorance, passion and goodness. So when one performs pure devotional service, then he gets liberated. Then he comes out of these three modes of material nature. Then he comes out of the cycle of birth and death. That is the power of pure devotional service. There was one prince. He was son of sixth Manu. I don't remember the name of the Manu. Sixth Manu. And his name is Prasdhar. Prasdhar. So the father told Prasdhar, "You protect cows." See, that time cow protection was considered so important that the king will give his own son. Not that my army will protect cows. So they had a very big goshala, cows were there, and Prasdhar will stand with a naked sword whole night awake to protect the cows. He will not sleep. He didn't marry because that will affect his service. He remained brahmachari so that he can protect cows. The king gave his own son for cow protection. Now the government kills cows. So whole night Prasadar was so strong and so powerful, whole night very enthusiastically with a sword in his hand he will stand outside the goshala to protect the cows. So one day it was very dark night and raining and a tiger entered the goshala and he attacked the cows. The cows started screaming and Prasadar went inside and he saw the tiger and in one shot, by mistake, he killed a cow. Tiger also got wounded and he ran away. Prasadar didn't know this. He thought the tiger is killed. And he came outside again. So in the morning, when sunlight came, and he saw he has killed a cow, he felt so bad, so guilty. But we understand it was not his mistake. So he went to his guru, Vasishtha Muni, that this has happened, I have by mistake unintentionally killed a cow. Vasishtha Muni got so angry, said, "You rascal, you killed a cow, I curse you, you become Shudra next life." So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that it was not good on the part of Vasishtha Muni. If a disciple or the son commits a mistake, the spiritual master or father should help them to rectify the mistake, not punish more. Sometimes it happens in the houses. Small child goes in the playground to play and he falls down. And his knee gets hurt. His elbow gets hurt. All wound happens. Blood comes out. He cries. Comes home. Mother slaps. Kyun gaya khelne ke liye? Are, already he is hurt and you slap more. So if sometimes people think this is partiality, you should punish your son and everybody equally. True. But if somebody who is son or disciple commits a mistake, it is not just the duty of spiritual master to punish. The duty of father and spiritual master is also to rectify. Just by punishing, that is manager's duty, who has to look justice. But one who has to educate, he has to rectify also. Right? So that is not partiality. That is the duty. So Vasishtha Muni, he didn't rectify this mistake. He didn't tell him how to prayaschit. He just punished him. You become Shudra next life. So Prasadar, he left his house, he practiced austerity, and he chanted the holy names of Krishna, and he performed bhajan, and he associated with sadhus, and he gradually developed very pure devotee. So one day he was going in the forest, and suddenly a forest fire appeared. And thinking this as a nice opportunity, Prasadar entered the fire and left his body. What happened? He went to Vaikuntha. Even though his own spiritual master cursed him to become a Shudra, but that curse had no effect on him because he performed devotional service, pure devotional service. See, that is the power of pure devotional service. He was destined to become a Shudra next life. Means A, he was to take next life. B, he was to be born in a Shudra family. But he got liberated. His karma got burnt. That curse got burnt. That is the power of pure devotional service. Sarva pape bhyo, all sinful reactions Krishna will take care. So instead of engaging in motivated activities in Krishna consciousness, one should engage in unmotivated activities in Krishna for the pleasure of the Lord, for the purpose of the service. And when one does that, then all this karma is gone, sinful as well as pious. And only when all the karma is burnt and we develop love for Krishna, we can enter into the spiritual world. Even if one karma is, fruit is pending, we'll have to take one more birth to accept that fruit. Even if something is lingering, we'll have to take one more birth to accept that. So in order to be successful in our life's mission, one has to transcend these three modes of material nature. So Jadabhara says to King Rahuguna, if you just follow the Vedas, whose injunctions are based on the three modes of material nature, you will not come out of three modes of material nature. So one cannot get liberated by that. So one should follow the process of pure devotional service. There are nine processes: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, chanting, hearing, and whatever process as we practice by given by Srila Prabhupada. One should follow this process unmotivated, uninterrupted, and gradually one comes to the platform of mode of goodness, transcends mode of goodness, then only one can hope to go back home back to God. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. If there are any questions or comments, we may take. What is the time? Oh, I didn't see that. Any questions? Yeah, Mike.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
You said the mind has unlimited desires. The soul has no desire. Did you mention that? You said soul has no desire.
Soul has desire to enjoy.
Now, this desire to serve Krishna, does it come from the mind or from the soul?
Mind's natural occupation is to serve Krishna. But for a conditioned soul who has not developed that realization, so that desire comes based on his hearing, which is absorbed by mind and intelligence. So at the conditioned level, it is not soul which is naturally wanting to serve Krishna. It's my intellectual understanding or my emotional state that I want to do this. But as one gradually progresses, it becomes a realized desire. It is a desire of the soul. In conditioned life, the soul is sleeping, passive. So when we hear class, then our intelligence, the bulb starts. Oh, yes, I should chant nicely. But after 1 hour, I'll sleep now, in the evening I will chant. Right? So this is play of the mind. You got your answer? Soul is passive now. So now it is all on the level of mind and intelligence. Okay?
Prabhu, I forgot. I wanted to ask you something. You see, even if we are not able to transcend all the three modes of material nature, nothing prevents us from rendering devotional service, so that we can get a little bit of Krishna prema.
Nothing prevents us, but even little bit of Krishna prema we'll get only after the modes. The three modes are contamination, material contamination. Without coming out of material contamination, we can't come to the platform of prema.
Prabhu, don't you think because we have experienced a little bit of Krishna prema, we are rendering devotional service also?
That is abhas, nam abhas, the shadow. Real prema and real experience is a long way. So that is abhas, that is accepted, it is there. Initial taste it is called. But the real experience comes only after the three modes of material nature. Okay? That is shadow of devotional service.
Hare Krishna. Anyone has stopped his all pious or impious activities, but some desires are there, speculating in his mind. how can she does a pure devotional service?
I am little unclear. Can you speak? What was the first sentence?
One man has stopped using all activities, pious and pious. But some desires are there, speculating in his mind. So how can he
stop those desires?
Pure devotional service.
See, the desires which are there, which we are not trying to fulfill, but they are there, they will be washed away by the process of chanting. Cheto darpana marjanam. Marjanam is cleaning. What will it clean? There should be something to clean anyway. So lust, anger, greed, all this, and material desire will be washed away. Sometimes what does Krishna do if the desire is very strong? He will fulfill it in such a way that you don't want to have that object again. Or sometimes Krishna will fulfill that desire in the dream. So a person is peaceful. So if we surrender to Krishna, then those things can be taken care of. One should not try to fulfill that desire. Even if it is strong, one should strongly practice Krishna consciousness. That determination will burn away that desire. Okay? If at all one is not able to, then you should dovetail. If somebody has a desire to eat nicely, then you should cook, offer to Krishna, and then eat. So that is devotional service, dovetail the desire. Okay? Yeah.
Sorry, can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, if Krishna fulfills our desire in the dream, if we have desire to go back to Godhead and we experience in dream, there is no need to go back to Godhead.
If that is a very strong desire, then you will go back home back to Godhead.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, does desire comes with experience?
Desire comes with experience?
You see around things, people are wanting, but does the desire comes with experience?
No, not necessarily. Anybody has a desire of golden mountain? Without any experience of golden mountain? Not necessarily. Mind makes up desires. A, because as you said, experience. B, because they are already inside. C, because of past.
Prabhuji, if we haven't seen gold, if we don't know the value of gold, how will we have desire of gold? Because that is experience. Because we have seen gold, we know the price of gold in the material world.
We have seen gold, we have not seen golden mountain. You're getting my point? So there is experience, I'm not saying no. But that is not the only source. That is not the only source. Mind has connection with the senses. And when senses give information of availability of the object, then the mind creates a desire to enjoy that object. But that is not the only source. Mind is also more powerful than the senses, being subtle. So mind has its own desires, plus past life is there. If somebody has a very strong desire and he dies, in next life, Krishna will make him remind that this was your desire. And he will work for it. So he will carry desires from past life. If somebody has a very great desire to sleep, then Krishna will make him a polar bear. And he will make him sleep there. So past life desires are also carried. And this life we can generate more desires out of experience. At the same time, mind is creative. Inside only we create so many things. So it's not only experience. That is one part of it. One source. But there are others also. Like small children, they want toys. They may not have experience of a particular toy. But they may still have a desire. We want to eat. So it's both. Experiences, creation, creative faculty, as well as past life. Okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for enlightening. Prabhuji, Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, Mansi Yogi Charana, Bhakti Yogi Sevate, Saguna Samsitana Brahma Bhuvai Kati. Once you engage in devotional service, there are about three modes of nature. How come you all said that in that also there are category passion in this?
I didn't say. Kapila Muni said that. So, by performing pure devotional service, one comes beyond the modes. But if the qualities of the practitioner are still present, then he takes time to come out of. So it is not that the first day I entered ISKCON and chant Hare Krishna, I am beyond the modes. It is not like that. It is a gradual process. From ignorance to passion, from passion to goodness, and then transcend to goodness. If you are in the airport, you are still in the same country. You are not in the air. So coming to process of Krishna consciousness, we are in the airport, about to take off. But we are not yet taken off. We have to take off now. That is, taken off is above the level of ground, above the level of modes of material nature. So bhakti, the process is not in modes. The person is in modes. Okay?
In this class, you also said, you know, you have to cut off this fruity activities, so then next one will not be there. But in our prayers of Lord Chaitanya, we said, Mama Janmani Janmani Shwara, Bhavatar Bhakti. So he is speaking about Lord Bhakti, but you said you have to cut off Bhakti. What exactly is this?
I am on a lower stage. See, as a devotee progresses, initially he develops a desire to go back home, back to Godhead, because he is captivated by such a concept. But as he progresses, he gets more attached to Krishna service. And he thinks, fine, wherever I am, even in hell, I will perform my devotional service. I don't mind taking birth again and again. So that higher stage should come naturally. Right? So both are there. Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, as we progress, even the desire of back home, back to Godhead will go away. We will just want to serve Krishna wherever we are. But Prabhupada, when somebody asked him about this, that Prabhupada, I don't want to go back home. I will remain here and preach. Prabhupada said, I'll do that, you go back home. So Prabhupada wanted us to go back home, back to Godhead. So let us fulfill his desire. If Krishna says, no, no, you remain here and preach, is a different thing. But we should go there and serve uninterrupted. Here there is interruption in service. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.